Thank you, Mrs. Hoke. Thank you all. It's wonderful to be here this morning. And yes, as Mrs. Hoke said, you may address me as Dr. Jaffone, but please, if there is some sort of emergency, the best I can do is come up to you. I can't help you as a doctor, but I can come up and read the Bible to you and pray with you, which is important, but maybe not what you need in a medical emergency. But I'm really grateful to be speaking with you this morning. And we're going to be looking at a very interesting and dramatic story from the Bible. Mrs. Hoke shared with me that next week you will be learning another proverb, which she read this morning. It's Proverbs 15:1. And I will say it now twice and just repeat it at the end so that I can prepare you for next week, but you don't have to memorize it just yet. And here it is. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. I'll say it again. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. Well, like most proverbs, it's useful for different kinds of situations, and today we're going to read a story from the life of David, from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 25, and it illustrates the truth of this proverb. In this story, we meet a very beautiful woman who is also a very wise woman named Abigail. Do we have any Abigails here? Anyone here named Abigail? No? Oh, one? Wonderful. Okay, we have an Abigail. It's a pretty name. A wonderful woman named Abigail who saves her family and her servants from death because she responds to wrath and anger with a soft answer. And Abigail is also a picture for us of how Jesus intercedes for us when we deserved God's wrath because of our sins. So let's take a look at this passage. And to give us some background here, David has already been anointed by the prophet Samuel, symbolizing that David is going to be the next king over Israel. But God has not yet put him on the throne. So David is hiding in the wilderness from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. Many men were joining David's group, and these men were outlaws because King Saul was not properly enforcing the laws of Moses. And so David was in an awkward position. God had promised him that he was going to be king someday, but and people were already looking to him to protect them from enemies and keep order like a king should do. But he wasn't the king yet, and his life was in danger. So we'll read, beginning at verse 1. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. Well, so now we've met two characters as well besides David, a husband and a wife, Nabal and Abigail. Nabal is very rich and owns sheep and goats, and he has many servants, but he's a very harsh man, a bad man. And later in the story, we find out that he likes to get drunk on too much wine. His wife, Abigail, is just the opposite. She is wise and very beautiful. So Abigail, like David, is also in a very awkward position in her life. Maybe she made a bad choice to marry a bad man, or probably her parents arranged for her to marry this man, like that was very common back then. Or maybe he was a good man earlier in their marriage and he turned bad. We don't know. So let's continue reading. Verse 4, David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him, 'Peace be to you and peace be to your house and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers.' Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time we were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David. When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and they waited. So David is in the wilderness, of course, with his men, and he's probably thinking a lot about how he and his men are going to have enough food. And so he sends messengers to this rich sheep farm owner, Nabal, asking for hospitality. And do you know what hospitality is? Hospitality, someone want to define hospitality? Here, I don't know your name, but you can tell us what hospitality is. Someone who gives you kindness. That's a very good answer. And it's a kind of kindness that is welcoming people who are visiting and taking care of them while they are in your home. And it's very important in most cultures, and it's also something that we're taught to do in the Bible. And when the sheep farmers would shear the sheep, they would have a big party, a feast, a festival, and there would be prayers and songs to thank God for the harvest and to celebrate as a village. And whoever showed up to this shearing party would get to enjoy some of the meat and the drinks and the food. So David is asking Nabal for hospitality, which was expected. He doesn't want Nabal to be embarrassed by not having enough food ready when a lot of people show up to this party. Has that ever happened in your house, that your parents were having a party and then a lot more people showed up than they had expected? Do they feel a little bit anxious when that happens, right? Yeah, yeah. I see some people raising their hands. So David is expecting some decent hospitality from Nabal as a visitor. And also, David's men have not harmed Nabal's servants while they were in the wilderness pasturing the sheep. And they also protected them from bandits. And so this was a time when the king of Israel was not protecting his people or enforcing the law. So David and his men were outlaws, but trying to do the right thing, kind of like what King Saul should have been doing for his people. So how does Nabal respond? Let's see. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. So Nabal does two things that are very wrong here. And he shows that he does not recognize that God has anointed David as king. And Nabal does not show hospitality, even though he's rich. And he's not thankful that David has helped him by protecting his servants and his sheep. But how does David respond? Well, like it says in our proverb, Nabal's harsh word stirs up David's anger. And David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. Now, David had a right to be angry with Nabal for this disrespect. But should he have been angry enough to want to kill Nabal and all his servants? And I think in this case, David is not being a good example for us because he is letting his anger guide his actions. And we don't usually make good decisions when we're angry, right? But thankfully, God's wisdom protects these people and prevents disaster. So let's keep reading. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us, both day and night, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, and he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him." Now, is the servant being disrespectful to his master by calling him worthless? Well, I would say no. He's trying to save his master and all of the household. It's a wise thing that the servant speaks the truth here, but he talks to his mistress, who the servant knows will respond with good sense. So let's keep reading and see what Abigail does. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. Now this is a lot of food to feed 600 men. And it's not just nourishing food that might fill their stomachs. It's also tasty food. It's meat and raisins and figs. And it might have been the food that had already been prepared that day for the household. So she really is going above and beyond to honor David. Let's keep reading. And she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Go on before me. I come after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode on the donkey and came down under cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him." So here we can hear David's anger because Nabal had repaid David's good deed with evil and disrespect. Let's keep reading. "But when Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant.'" So Abigail is showing great humility here. She's asking for forgiveness for herself, even though it was her husband who had done something wrong. And even though she has not done anything wrong, she is offering a soft answer to angry David. And she says, "Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." And the name Nabal means fool. That's kind of an interesting name to give your child, isn't it? What kind of parents would name their child Nabal? It's kind of a funny name. But she says, "But I, your servant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living, in the care of the Lord your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has spoken to my Lord concerning all the good that he has spoken concerning you, has done to my Lord, according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for my Lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant." Wow, that's quite a speech. You know, sometimes when we are angry, or when we encounter someone who is angry, it's because we did something to make them angry. And sometimes, like in this story that we're reading, someone else did something to make them angry, and they have a right to be unhappy. And sometimes we encounter a person who's angry and has no good right to be angry. But in all of these situations, if we are wise, we can calm down the situation by speaking soft words that are true and point everyone to what is right and how to make the situation right. So Abigail is very wise. She says to David that he doesn't have to fight to defend his right to be king, because God has made a promise and God will save him from his enemies, and God will make him king when the time is right. So Abigail fully believes in God's promises to David, and her faith is in God, not in David. Abigail says another wise thing. She says that even though David had a right to be angry at Nabal, it's better for him to act with self-control. And then when he becomes king, he won't have to feel guilty about killing Nabal and these other men, and he won't be accused of being unjust. So this is a really thoughtful thing for Abigail to say. Abigail is looking out for David's conscience and for his reputation. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried to come to meet me, truly by morning there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice. I have granted your petition." So because Abigail responded with wisdom, her soft answer turned away wrath. David blesses God and blesses Abigail for persuading him to not do something that would have been a very bad thing. And think about how reckless Nabal was. His foolish response to David's very reasonable request nearly resulted in his death and in the death of all of his male household and servants. But Abigail was wise and did what was best for her servants and best for David, and even what was best for her foolish husband. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And this reminds us of how, again, of how rich Nabal was, how he could have provided food for David's men, no problem. He was just foolish and selfish. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult that I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." So in the end, just as Abigail said, David didn't have to get revenge for this insult for himself because God brought justice on Nabal for his actions. And God saved Abigail and the household of Nabal from a harsh husband and a harsh master. At the end of the story, David sends a messenger to Abigail and invites her to become his wife, and she becomes his wife as well. Well, I hope that you like this story. We find this story very interesting from 1 Samuel 25, and I think it's a perfect story to illustrate the proverb that you'll be memorizing next week, which is, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger," Proverbs 15:1. You know, for us, this story has a very satisfying ending. The bad man, Nabal, dies. Abigail gets to marry a good man, the king. And it's not just a romantic ending to this story, but it's a reward for her wisdom. And David gets a beautiful and wise wife. So things turn out perfectly in this story. But you know, even if we act wisely, God doesn't promise that everything will always work out perfectly in this life. Because that's how wisdom works, because the world is broken because of sin. But thankfully, there is an even better hope than just some wisdom that works more often than not. Abigail is a picture of what Jesus does for us. Like Nabal, each of us was rebellious and prideful, and we don't give God the honor that we owe him. And because of that, we rightfully deserve death. But like Abigail, Jesus humbled himself and risked his own life, even laid down his own life for us. And he wasn't just spoken to harshly, with a harsh word. He endured harsh suffering to absorb the wrath that God had for us. But because, like Abigail, and even better than Abigail, Jesus interceded for us, he came between us and God, he has brought peace between us and God. So let's thank God for what Abigail did and for what Jesus has done, and pray and ask God to help us to respond to wrath and anger with gentleness and peace. So please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for Abigail, this wise and beautiful woman who saved her family by her faith, her wisdom, and her courage. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who stood between us and the wrath that we deserved. We ask that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to be wise and courageous, even when we face someone who is angry. Give us the gentle and true words to say that will turn away wrath and bring peace. And we pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all.